Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. And good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening.
Coming in loud and clear here. And good evening, Pastor Cox. Did we have Pastor Cox also?
Well, I heard him beep.
Okay. Well, maybe I had to call back in. I'm not sure. But I can hear you, Ralph. Sounds good.
All right, that's okay.
And I know we've got a couple callers. I'll let you know when they...
I'll just wing it until he comes on.
All right.
All right, thank you, sir. And we do welcome everybody tonight to Hope is Alive. What is Hope is Alive? It's a show about testimony. And what is that testimony? It's a testimony of those who have been set free from that which has oppressed them. That which has caused them heartache, pain, which has caused them problems during their Christian walk. And how are they released from that? Well, they're released from it from the power of the Holy Spirit, all done and performed by Christians like you and me. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. Wealth of information there. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. Excellent manual. Good thing to have in your library. Good tool to have if you want to be effective at casting out evil spirits. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let me know you like that book. We'll get it out to you. Pastor, is that you? Are you there with us now?
That's affirmative. I'm on board. Good evening.
Good evening. Well, good to hear from you again this Wednesday. Would you like to give us an update on Monday night?
Well, it was a great evening, as it often is. Really, every Monday evening is just supernaturally wonderful. We had 22 exorcisms this last Monday and had a minister for each. How's that?
Well, praise the Lord.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I had a great case, a lady that had ritual abuse. She was from Tulsa. Couple of our team leaders brought her over and scheduled me to work with her, and and it went really well. I was not able to get the head demon up as I like to, but that only works about 1 out of 3 people. So I had to work the problem list. But going through the soul ties, which were numerous, and working with the trauma part, the trauma door, getting that inner healing done with those problems, that ritual abuse she had, that took quite a while. And then I wound up working the list. She felt the demons come out, and she kept looking better and better. And so it was pretty exciting. She got the Holy Ghost. Oh, also she had back pain leave that had bothered her for ages. And so it was, you know, I'm still on a high from that one.
Well, good. Sounds like she had a typical deliverance.
Yes, it was just in every case, really,
yes,
for deliverance ministries. But this woman had had a horrible life of abuse. And a long story, of course. And so I haven't had a chance to call her yet. I probably will tomorrow. But she looked so different. And the couple that brought her, they were so excited. I mean, she was laughing and just outgoing. You know, it's typical what we see, isn't it?
It is. It is. Pastor, there's quite an echo with you. Richard says he's hearing it too. Are you on your microphone normally, or are you doing something different this evening?
Well, it should be normal. I changed the position of my microphone. Is that any better?
That actually is better. That is better. So, well, praise the Lord. Pastor, I got a little good news. The gentleman that I had been speaking with through the internet from England did get his package today of all the training CDs and the book, and he is so impressed with the system that he has a YouTube channel, and he's trying to start up doing a deliverance ministry that way. He's talking about doing a review of your book and doing a review of your system.
Praise God.
Praise God.
That's awesome.
That's exactly what I said too. And I said, well, he's a relatively young man. I'm not sure how old he is. I think he's in his late 20s. And I said, well, he's just got a few years experience on you, but don't worry, you'll get there.
Well, absolutely. It all started somewhere, and it,
yes, that's
it slowly
right.
Grew. You know, it's like anything else. The more you do it, the better you tend to get.
Yes. And just sitting up there to kind of encourage people, because there are this isn't just a phenomenon that happens here in the United States. It's worldwide from what I see. I see on these groups I'm on, deliverance ministers in other parts of the world, plenty of them in Africa, and it's basically teach a lot of the same things, so that we know that's coming right out of the Bible. From what they're talking about, you see Luke 10:19 an awful lot.
Yeah.
You see the Great Commission quoted quite a bit. You see a lot of people promoting the forgiveness, that you really need to forgive. That just cannot be stressed enough in deliverance. And
yes, it's hard to get it across how major that is. By the way, I'm ministering to Laura in London tomorrow afternoon.
Well, good. I'm eager to find out how that goes. I've been chatting with her a little bit as well, and just doing my best to keep Everett busy.
Yeah, I've been busy for quite a few decades, it seems.
Well, another thing is the books did get out to my to those that you sent out that I knew that were in prison. And I talked to one of them yesterday, and he's going to work on himself first, but that's something I talked to him about. It. I said, you know, it's going to happen. He goes, well, I wanted this for myself. And I said, it's going to happen. You just trust me. I just know that it's going to happen. You're going to have someone see the difference in you, and they're going to ask you about what you're doing, and you're going to feel led by the Holy Spirit taking through deliverance. And that was one thing I told him. I said, you know, it's basically refreshing the steps of it. You'll see there's in the book. Tell him about that. But I said, but the thing is when it comes down to forgiving, If they will not forgive, just stop right there. Do not go any further. Do not go any further until they are ready to forgive. There's no purpose in going because it will not work.
That's it. That's what we keep telling the people. That's how major it is. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors, and that's certainly what we see over and over.
Yes. And when we talk about that forgiving, we also mention, and remember, we're talking about forgiving yourself. And that seems to be a big one. People seem, well, I have no problem with this person, with that person dead to me, but they can't seem to forgive themselves for the things they've done.
I see that a lot as well.
Yes.
But it's just this nature, and it's all a choice.
Uh-huh, it is. It is a choice. And a lot of times people have trouble, and they don't want to forgive God for the things that have happened in their life. And it's real important to get past that. We cannot stress it enough. That's just a major, major door opener.
People in churches where they never had any training about Satan and his demons, so when they have bad things happen, they just figure it's God doing it. They're not aware of, Satan and his demons at all.
Oh, I know.
So they blame God, for this or that.
Yes, that's right. And it's just so important to do that, because the only person that you're hurting is yourself when you don't forgive. It does not mean that the person that, I've heard some pretty awful things that have happened to people over the years with deliverance and then their testimonies. And it doesn't mean that person who did those things to them is not set free and has no consequences. I mean, they still have a choice to repent and go before the Lord themselves. But when you forgive them, you set yourself free. And I think it helps the Holy Spirit work in their lives, because, just like when Stephen was stoned, and right before he died, he said, "Let's not hold this offense against them, Lord." And who was in that group of people? He wasn't throwing his stones, but he had he was holding their coats and was certainly smiling about it. And that was the Saul of Tarsus, who ended up becoming the Apostle Paul. And I'm a firm believer, Pastor, that if Stephen had not forgiven him, I don't know if the Lord could have worked with him.
Yeah, I agree, and I think this, if you don't forgive, it's blocking all your blessings from the New Testament and the New Covenant. Not worth it when you can choose and forgive anytime you want to choose and do it.
Yes. Yep, it is. It is a choice, and that's part of the free will that we're given by the Lord, and basically he sets it down. I think basically the Lord says this, forgive or face the consequences of it. And I think that's just the basic message behind it. Forgive or face the consequences of it. And a lot of times those consequences are demonic spirits that are allowed to torment you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, but again, it's deliveranceusa.com. When you go there, if you maybe the first time you've clicked on something, it'll come up as DaleMen.org. They're both the same website. Sometimes people ask me, I went to a different place, and I give it to them. I said, well, DeliveranceUSA.com is a little easier to remember and say. But they both link to the same website. And or the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, by Pastor Cox. Again, you can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you like to have that book. He'll certainly get out to you. But also, Pastor, if I'm correct, that's also available on Amazon, isn't it?
Say that again.
Your book, isn't it also available on Amazon?
That's correct. And Kindle as well.
And Kindle as well. So, obviously, we'd rather see the ministries benefit from it. But either way, the ministry does benefit from it. But those are different ways that you can get that book. And it's just...
Yes, we get a royalty off of it.
Yes, but I do believe we might have our first caller, and we do. We have Sarah. Sarah, thank you for joining us this evening.
No problem.
Yeah, Sarah, how you doing? You doing okay?
I'm doing great. I'm doing amazing. How are you?
All right, I'm blessed. Well, Ralph is on here with me, Sarah. He's up in the Branson, Missouri area. So why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself, Sarah, and when you were born again, and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance, and what your deliverance was like, and changes you've seen, and so forth. So go right ahead.
Okay, well, I knew about deliverance when I was little. My grandma, I grew up with her, and she had me around it from the time I believe I was like 8 or 9, up until now. She's always talked to me about it, and I never really saw it. I never really paid attention, I guess. I just wasn't really interested in it when I was younger because I was young and I didn't know. When I was 21 years old, 22, I ended up having a drug problem, and I didn't know what else to do. I had seen all the bad stuff. I prayed to God. I'm like, can you please just show me something? And for the past year, I've just been having this pulling on my heart to come see you, to come to you. And I finally did it. And I mean, just whenever I did it, it was the most amazing, freeing feeling I've ever had in my life. I can't even explain it in words. It's just so, so intense and so, it's just amazing. It's amazing. It makes you feel so free, and you don't realize it until it happens. You know, you don't realize what was really wrong with you or what you were really being tormented by or what was wrong in your life until you go through the deliverance and you build that relationship with God. And you have someone
right.
Who knows what they're doing.
When you came, Sarah, of course, you went through the door closing prayer. And then we went to a room that I minister in, and we went through breaking of ungodly soul ties, which was a pretty big deal, and then the dealing with the trauma door. You'd had your share of traumas, like most people, and we went through the inner healing with those, and then finally got into deliverance. So what was it like getting a hit demon up, Sarah?
It was crazy to me. I didn't know that other things could talk to my body I didn't know there was anything else in there. It was a heavy, dark feeling, that I had no control over at first. When you were calling him out and I was getting sick and I was feeling my body being pulled, and I knew I was in there, you know, I knew I was in there. I just couldn't believe what was happening. It was mind blowing.
And that's pretty common, in a lot of the deliverances. And it's kind of like you're in the background and you could hear what was going on, couldn't you, pretty well?
Yeah, well, it was like a movie. You know, you see the scary movies and everything like that. It was literally like a movie. It was like I was watching myself, but it wasn't me. It wasn't me talking. It wasn't me. It wasn't me that was wanting to say these mean things and do these horrible things and be upset, because I, you know, usually I just wouldn't act like that, even if I was upset, but it was crazy. It was crazy. It was something I never really experienced in my life, and it honestly, it scared me at first, but whenever we finally got through with it, I've never felt lighter in my life.
Praise God. Now, this last deliverance that we did, we got rage up first. You know, sometimes when you're trying to get the head demon up, the head demon will send a junior demon out first. And we got rage out. And as we kept interrogating, it was kind of belligerent, wasn't it? Rage.
Yeah.
It didn't want to talk real well. I had to use angels on it.
So
the jabbing with the swords does wonders with them.
Yeah, it definitely does. And my body could definitely feel it. My body could definitely feel it. And I knew it wasn't me. You know, I felt it was just weird because I felt the presence of God, but I felt the presence of something evil as well. So it was really overwhelming. Like I didn't, and I was in there. I knew, you know, what was going on. I just couldn't get myself out of it without getting rid of the demons first.
Yeah, and I finally got the hit demon up, which was Jezebel. Now, at one point, I don't know if you realize this, you were about to slide out of the chair. Do you remember that?
Kind of. I remember being very, very violent. I remember I wanted to freak out. I don't, and the crazy part, like, I don't know why, I just remember being so angry, and it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I wasn't angry. There was just the demon in me was angry, and it didn't want to leave.
Yeah, they were very reluctant, and of course we kept digging for legal rights, and found some remaining legal rights. The door closing prayer takes usually the bulk of them out, where they lose legal rights, but this one still had some, and we dealt with that. And also, something worthy of mentioning, we dealt with the tattoos early, before we got the head demon up. And could you feel all that going on?
I felt that more than I felt anything. I definitely, I felt sick. I felt nauseous. I felt heavy. I felt dizzy. I mean, pretty much anything bad that you could feel. My stomach was hurting. I felt like I was being choked. Like I couldn't get the words out to pray. It was rough. That one, I think that was probably the toughest one. Was the tattoos, which really surprised me because I never really thought tattoos were that big of a deal. You know, I was like, oh, it's just a tattoo. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But when we started going through it, I was like, I'm never getting a tattoo again. Like, I will never do this again.
Yes. Well, the deal is, a person is technically defiling their temple, but also, many of those tattoos have been dedicated to Satan and the demons and that sort of thing. And so demons are able to operate off that. It's another kind of a door. And so...
Well, and I had a false god on me, too.
Finally,
you know, and the yoga symbol and the stuff that I have on me tattooed is not Christian. And I mean, not saying that if it was Christian it would be any better, but it's not.
Yes, but we neutralized them. The good news is, with all power that's been given to us, we neutralized those tattoos, with, of course, you in agreement and having already repented of it. And then we sent the demons of the tattoos out, and they finally went. Did that feel pretty good,
sir,
when they went?
Yeah.
Praise God.
My body... Every single time we did like a different deliverance on something different, my body felt like exhausted, but just like a relief. Like I felt so much better. I mean, I really can't even put it into words. It's almost like you're just carrying like 10,000 pounds, and then somebody's just like, okay, you're just taking it off little by little, you know. And
you felt lighter.
Immediately.
You felt lighter, did you?
Yeah, immediately.
You felt lighter?
I knew it was God.
Yeah. Well, that's what so many people report. It's like a heaviness that's on them, and as you cast these things out, they feel lighter and lighter as they go along. Well, back to the head demon, working with Jezebel there, I remember at one point, you just about came out of the chair, and I called on the angels to hold you there. In fact, one time you kind of slithered down in the chair, and I called on the angels to put you back in the chair, and you wound up back in the chair. And I don't know if you noticed another time, you had your head, of course, I was ministering, had the head demon up. I'm not talking to Sarah, I'm talking to the head demon, Jezebel, and it had its head real sideways in the chair, and I called on the angels to pull Jezebel's head back up vertical, and it did.
Yeah.
So, amazing things.
I remember the guy on the street. And it wasn't my body. Like, it wasn't like I was in control of my body, you know. And it was the craziest thing,
right.
Because when I was listening to you talk, I was there. Like, I was in there, and I wanted to do what you were telling me to do, but I couldn't do it at first, and it was like something just was like snapped, and my body did exactly what you told me to do.
Yes, the demon was using your body, Sarah, in the manifestation. It wasn't you, it was a demon that we were witnessing there. Oh, praise God. So, let's see, we found out there were some satanic assignments that had to be canceled, and likewise, there was five demons left, I believe. Wasn't there, of course, others had left earlier with the tattoo, and then with the preparation we did with the soul ties and the trauma door, of course, back in the door closing prayer. A certain number of demons will leave in all those steps, we find. And while most people would have an average, most Christians an average of around 36 demons, when we get to finally to the head demon, there may only be a dozen or something, and you only had five left. So once we decided they didn't have any legal rights, nailed that down, and assignments that hadn't been canceled coming out of Satan's war room, then we were able to cast them out. And what was it like when we finally cast them out, Sarah?
I was thankful. I was thankful to God. I was thankful to you. I just wanted to fall on my face and praise God.
Praise God. Well, that's the exciting thing about it. And, of course, when they're gone, it's the real you, Sarah, that's left with your God-given gifts. And now able to go forward in your life unhindered by these demons and really start enjoying life abundant. Does that sound good?
it sounds amazing. Amen. I mean, I already feel like a completely different person. I already feel like I'm not angry. I'm not lashing out. I feel completely different. Like, words can't put it. You know, you can't put it into words unless you go through it, you know, and you get to see and you get to feel and you get to experience what, you know, I mean, and everybody's had trauma and issues in their life, but they don't really realize, like, what that causes. Like, I didn't have any idea that I was obviously full of demons until I got up there and I was like, okay, maybe I am. Maybe I do need help. Maybe... You know, and I was nervous. I was hesitant at first, but I'm very, very thankful for you and to God that I went through with it. Because there's no
telling. Well, that's our Jesus.
And of course, he
commanded all believers to do this. It wasn't an optional thing. Mark 16:17, Jesus commanded believers, not special believers, not priests, not someone ordained believers. And of course, I'm not out of a seminary. I'm not a priest, of course, and nothing like that. I'm a mortgage banker by background. And so who am I to do that? Well, I'm a believer. And guess what?
Right.
You're a believer too, so you can do this as well.
Yeah, and I definitely want to get involved. Like, I would love to.
Yes, before you left, we talked about Sarah going through the training, and that'll be exciting, and it'll be fulfilling. It, the camaraderie of the group, well, you know, we're all spiritual warriors, special commando
right.
unit, and we're like in the military, you know. And so when you get
yeah.
in the middle of that group, you have a special, I don't know, a relationship with everybody, and you're on the team, so to speak. And
right.
so you'll really have fulfillment in that, Sarah, as you go through the training. You know, there's nothing like somebody that's been there that has a compassion to minister to others, and you'll be setting people free of drugs and alcohol and rage and so forth yourself.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I think that would be amazing.
Well, your grandmother is a very special person to me. Of course, I've known her for many decades. She used to help us at Deliverance Ministries, I guess, 20-plus years ago. And she helped us so much. And it's exciting that I was able to minister.
Coming back up there.
Yeah, I'm so excited I could return what she's done for us at Deliverance Ministries and by helping her granddaughter.
Yeah.
Honey,
yeah,
it works out,
isn't it? She kept asking me, she said, are you sure, are you sure? I said, I'm positive. I said, you know, this has been calling me for the past year. And I didn't feel like I was ready then. But I woke up one day and I literally was like, I'm going to go to Deliverance today. And if anybody wants to go, they can come. If not, I'm still going to go. But I'm just letting everybody know. And they were like, you don't want to do this yet, or no, no, no. And I was like, yep, nope, doing it. I'm going to be there. And it was the best decision that I've ever made in my life.
And that's the way we love for people to come. They're determined. They're really ready to be free. Someone that's brought and they haven't made their mind up that they want to change their life and get rid of addictions and et cetera, of course, it won't work. We learned that long ago. You know, we've tried to drive spirits out, but God won't go against self-will. So the person has to be tormented enough to reach out to say, Jesus, help me. And then if they'll come
right.
to Deliverance Ministries, we can take them through all the steps. You were easy to work with that way, Sarah, because you were ready. I love that. Praise
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
That's when it works.
I was tired of being angry, and I was tired of being hurt and sad and depressed and lonely. You know, I mean, pretty much everything that you can feel bad, I was feeling. And I couldn't figure out why, because I would take depression medicine and anxiety medicine, and they had put me on bipolar medication, and I'm like, none of this is, like, it's not working. It's not working because I'm not any of these things. Like, this is not who I am. And so, finally now, I'm starting to feel like I know where I want to go. I know who I want to be. I know I want to be, I want a relationship with God, finally. Like, I'm tired of living in sin and starting over and repeating the same patterns over and over and over again, to where I'm like, well, man, maybe if I did this different or this, but I never really put God into my life like I should have until this last time. And I've realized this is the only peace that I will ever have in my life. This is the only thing that
Amen.
Will cancel my anxiety and depression and bipolar and the lies.
Well, you're the real you
that
now.
I believe in.
Sarah, we're out of time. Thank you so much for calling in. It was a beautiful testimony, and it shows what Jesus is doing in setting people free.
Yes, thank
wonderful.
You for having
God
me, and I appreciate you more than you know.
Oh, thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Sarah.
Bye.
No problem. You guys have a blessed night.
Good night.
Yeah, you know, I like the way she put it. She was tired of the pattern.
Yes.
And that's how it's easy to see if there's a demonic spirit involved behind it. Because if it's a pattern, no matter how hard you try, that pattern's still there. That's a pretty good indication there's a spirit driving behind it. Well, Pastor, we have Charity. Charity, thank you for calling this evening.
Hello.
Hi, Charity. Thank you for calling in. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Charity, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again, what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance, and what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen and so forth. So go right ahead.
My name is Charity Witt. I'm a born-again believer. I was baptized and I was brought up Southern Baptist, and I came to the Lord when I was 8 years old at a tent revival. And from that time, from the time that I was eight up until the time I was about 40, I'm 45 now, I struggled my whole life. Even though I was a Christian, I struggled, and I never knew why. With, you know, depression, all kinds of different sicknesses. And my first experience with deliverance was when I was around 40. And I started going to a non-denominational church. And I guess I had been born with an unusual gift from the Lord. I was born a seer, and in the Baptist church, I had that gift had kind of been hidden and not really talked about. And so when I got deliverance when I was 40, and the person that was doing my deliverance realized I was a seer, she found it out through doing my deliverance. It was a blessing from the Lord, because during that time, during that first deliverance, I was delivered from a lot of things, but the biggest thing I was delivered from was the spirit of rejection. And that was from all of that stuff that happened to me when I was a child growing up in the Baptist church and not acknowledging my gift and all that kind of stuff. And so through that first deliverance, when the fear of rejection fell off of me, and the fear of pleasing man and all those kind of other things that came off, I felt a freedom for the first time in my life to really be who the Lord called me to be. And I started walking in as a pastor, a street pastor, and I was using my gift as being a seer to help just lead people to the Lord from the streets, whether they were drug addicts or the homeless or just people that were homeless and didn't know the Lord. That gift, it was the first time I got to be me, if that makes sense. And then I actually believed so much in deliverance that I ended up going to Everett Cox to help my now adopted daughter. We're adopting a 20-year-old. We're doing an adult adoption. I went because I kept on seeing the demonic on her. And hers was so layered with all kinds of trauma and things from her life that I needed someone that had more experience in deliverance other than just the street deliverance, like praying for someone. And I actually, while during that deliverance, I had the experience of, I didn't realize through that deliverance was like layers, like an onion. And and as I was sitting there, the ladies that were doing my deliverance, what happened was I didn't realize I had a spirit of Ahab and like a religious spirit that was still there. And as they were doing her deliverance, I was actually getting a deliverance myself. And it was beautiful. Because even though I had been delivered from so much, and when I first came back to the Lord and started operating in my gifting, there was something that was still kind of holding me back, and I didn't understand that it was a spirit of religion that I still had, that I was carrying around with me. And ever since then, since this last January, and even now, the Lord has had me walking in signs, miracles, and wonders. And then after this last deliverance, there has been an even more increase in that because of the things that had come off of me or fell off of me or however you want to say it. So, yeah, that's kind of a short version of what, why and how I was introduced to deliverance.
Yes, I'll be. You know, that's a great gift, Charity, being a seer. It's a gift that you can use, in fact, in deliverance like we do here, like discernment, you know, and the word of knowledge. I don't have any particular gifts myself, it seems. I have to use the steps that we do, but there are some of our ministers that have that gift, and it's a real advantage in this type of ministry. And now, did Linda work with you? Was she able to get the head demon up in you? You remember?
We were actually there for my daughter doing deliverance, and the head demon was actually we did when we were doing the deliverance for my daughter. What happened was I was sitting there as mom, just watching as a seer, and as they were doing the deliverance of my daughter. I kept on seeing this image of this beautiful lady, but I also saw this image of this younger lady that was with this beautiful lady. And they kept on, like, almost coming in and out of my daughter, both of these ladies. I kept on seeing them in and out of my daughter. And it was, and I kept on hearing this word of knowledge that it was Jezebel and Jezebel's daughter. And so as we were there, I gave that word of knowledge to them during that deliverance, and they were able to help my daughter with those two. Yes, they were able to help my daughter get those two main demonic things out of her. Does that make sense?
Sure, and that's awesome. That's again how you can use that gift in the deliverance ministry. By the way, have you thought about going through our training, Charity, and being one of our ministers?
I didn't even know that was an option, to be honest.
Well, maybe the Lord would lead you to go through our teaching and become a deliverance minister at Deliverance Ministries. Have you thought about that?
Yes, I mean, I'm willing to do whatever the Holy Spirit leads me to do or whatever He tells me to do. I'm in a season of radical obedience. So, absolutely. If that's what the Lord, you know, if we contact each other after tonight, and that's what the Lord, my husband and I pray about it. And, you know, we have a very biblical way of functioning. So He's my covering. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is my covering first, and then my husband, and then my covering at church and everything. But yes, absolutely.
Maybe the Lord would lead both of you to go through the training and be a minister. Often we're short of ministers. We were okay last week with 22 cases with 22 ministers, but the week before we had 20 for ministry and just 15 ministers. So, you know, not everyone comes every Monday night. So, well, in your ministry, I was looking at your ministry report. Were you surprised that Linda, the minister, and Nancy, that they used the Bible to drive them out?
Yes, I was. It was actually, that was something that was very interesting that happened was, I'm one of the things that I always tell everybody when we're on the street was, that the word of God is a double-edged sword and it's a weapon. Well, I had never thought about, you know, we've used oils, we've used laying on of hands, if we're out on the street ministry helping, you know, deliver someone or bring them to Christ and they actually manifest the demon. we use the oils, praying on lawn and laying of hands, but I had never been taught or shown that I could use my Bible. Well, I'm a big prayer. You know, as you walk as a seer and a prophet, you're in the Word of God more than you're not, right? And so we were there, and I felt the urge, but I didn't want to do it or interrupt anybody. And then they instructed me to pick up my Bible, and they put my Bible on her back, and the demonic started to flinch and react to when they would put the Word of God on her. And I had never known that. I was so surprised, and now I use that now that I know that my actual Bible is a weapon as well, because it is the Word of God, and the Word of God is living and active.
Well,
and wow, it surprised me.
Well, amen. And you know, we always knew the demons did not want to hear the Word, and it was about 40 years ago with me, a pastor in Arkansas told me that in deliverance, when the person, you know, a lot of people feel the demons moving in their body in ministry, and if the person felt the demon somewhere in their body, if you take the Bible and touch on that spot, the demon would run from it. And so I started trying that, and it really worked well, and sure enough, the demons would come out much quicker. Now, we often also see in manifestations that demons will try to push the Bible away. So obviously,
yes,
it's hurting them. Well, if it's hurting them, we want to use it a lot. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, and then the other thing that was really good that I had never been taught was how Linda called upon the Jesus angels. I had never been taught that either. I mean, I knew that I could command angels, but I never thought about them making the person sit still or hold still in their chair. And so usually when I would walk up on the street to someone and they started to manifest, I would bind them, right? I would bind them and I would gag them, but I didn't know that I could call upon Jesus angels, to, like, literally hold them in their place. And that was another really good teaching and learning that I learned from the experience as well.
Oh, yes, that's a wonderful asset for all of us. And, of course, Hebrews 1:14 points out that God's angels are to be of service to us. And I used to think I had to go through the Godhead, you know, Father, in Jesus' name, would you send angels to do this or that? And I learned somewhere, I don't remember where it was, that we can call on them directly. And, of course, that's a scriptural reference. And we do it on the teams. We do that constantly in deliverance ministry today. And, in fact, a lot of times when I get a hit demon up, I'll say, how many warning angels you see around this? Usually 8 or 10 or so. And then I'll say, all right, hit demon, which of the warning angels looks the most threatening to you? Point it out. And in the manifestation, it'll take the person's hand and point at a 45-degree angle. So they're obviously very
tall. That happened.
And that
actually happened when she was doing it. When she was doing it to my daughter, that actually happened. The first time the angels had to take care of the demon, and I just watching it was amazing to me. It was different than anything I'd ever been taught. So.
Yes. Yeah, it's a real asset to us, and of course. In our ministries, we have to use the angels a lot to control the demons, to put the people back in the chair if they thrash out of the chair, and also to, use their swords on the demons. And that keeps them in going in the right direction. Some of them get really belligerent and really stubborn, and so... Initially, I usually have the angels jab the person, the demon, 3 hard times, and often the person sitting in the chair will actually jerk 3 times. Now, the person isn't feeling, it's the demon in the manifestation, you know, that's responding.
Correct, correct.
But that'll straighten them up many times and then do it more as needed. So, as a result, we can work through some really complicated cases pretty quick.
Yes, yes. So I was so grateful. I had never, when I mean, in the my first deliverance was different, and this is the other thing that I learned through the whole thing. My first deliverance that I had gone through when I was 40 was totally different than what my daughter and I experienced when we were there with Linda, you know? So, and we learned mm-hmm. from each one. I mean, I learned from each one of those deliverances different ways and different things to do, and it was just amazing how the Holy Spirit works in different ways and through different people and in all the aspects. And then you see and you can confirm it through the Bible, and you're like, oh wow, this is powerful stuff that we need to be teaching the body of Christ. And I was telling my husband when I came back, I said, man, I really want to write a book on prophetic warfare.
Well, you do very well, Will. You know, we're all in a position to share. As I look at it, Charity, it appears to me that it's a fraction of 1% of the Christian body in America that knows what we're talking about. Is that sad what?
That's true, because as a seer, I walk around and I see it all day, every day, right? I see the angels, I see the demons, and the hardest thing for me is I walk into a room filled with believers, and yet sometimes I can go to church at a visiting church or wherever the Lord sends me as a prophet, and I can see some of their mouths are sewn shut, some of their eyes are sewn shut, some of them have this, just these weird shackles and things all over them. And then I see the demonic presences that are locked inside of them. And if the church knew about it, if the body of Christ knew about it and could see the way that I see when I walk in, my heart just, you know how, like the Lord, he loves his children and he wants them to be set free. And when you can see in the spiritual realm, you have this heart to want to help set them free. And so my prayer, I pray every night, my prayer that the Lord open up the spiritual eyes and the ears of the church, the body of Christ, to be able to see what I can see and know what you're doing and what other deliverance ministers are doing, and help the body of Christ, help, you know, because if the body of Christ would get itself healthy, then we could get out and go be more effective when we go out and be a witness of the gospel, right? And so I just,
amen.
I have a heart for it. So I just,
well, I can see
I know
that.
We're in a period of time
that's
where
why
we
you'd
need
make,
to be healthy.
Yes. That's why you'd make such a good deliverance minister, especially armed with those gifts. I mean, that is a real plus, to be able to do that as a seer. And so maybe the Lord will lead you to go through our training and help other people in this. The need is much and the workers are few, it seems. Well, we're about out of time. Charity, what would you say in winding up to the listeners?
I would say every day that you wake up, there is a world out there there is a spiritual war going on that you cannot see, most of you. And every day that you wake up, I would say to do the same exact thing I do, even though you may not be able to see. And that's ask Holy Spirit, what do you want to show me today? And what do you want me to do today? What do you want to teach me today? I would ask every single one of the viewers and listeners to just follow the Lord, because we are meant to be his hands and feet, and we are meant to die to ourselves, to our flesh. And that would be my one advice to every single person listening today, that this is a real war, and that they are, if they believe in Jesus Christ, then they are called to war in this war. And I would encourage them to learn and to know more about it. And the best way to do that is to ask the Holy Spirit.
Awesome. That was so cool. So great there, Charity. You told it well. thank you so much for being on the show, and I'll look forward to seeing you later. God bless you.
Thank you. You too. You have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Charity.
Bye-bye.
You know, we are in a war, and we are to be, as she said, the hands. We are the body. And in my opinion, you're a disarmed Christian if you don't understand this part of the gospel.
And you're vulnerable.
You do have, yes, and vulnerable. And vulnerable. I mean, you're basically like a soldier on the front line without any armor, without any body armor, without a helmet, without a some sort of firearm, and bullets coming from every direction. And those bullets are coming from the enemy, and the enemy works in the spirit realm. So if you would like to be better armed, if you'd like to be set free, maybe you have something that's a pattern, as Sarah said in the first testimony, a pattern that's something there over and over. And no matter how hard you try, maybe you go before the Lord often and say, Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. I need help. Well, the help is here. This is what the help is. It could be a spirit, and it can be cast out. So that's deliveranceusa.com, or the book written by Pastor Cox, Do the Supernatural Works of Jesus. Get that by calling Rich the office, 307-742-7582. Both these are tools to help you, and that's why we're here. We're hoping the testimonies edify, the testimonies encourage. We know they overcome because we're told we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so don't hesitate. We want to see you set free. Well, Pastor, as always, it's been a pleasure. Another Monday night, sorry, another Monday night, another Wednesday night. No, my day's wrong. Another Wednesday night.
Yeah,
and another more testimonies, and we praise the Lord. It's two more testimonies there of people that are set free.
Amen.
Look forward to hearing you join us next week. Yes, another great. We look forward to everybody joining us next Wednesday, and we'll be here. God bless
everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.